I'm not here to brag, but as far as transitions go, you know, from the newscast and the music that follows the newscast into Babu Babu Babum, almost seamless. Not 100% seamless, but I'm going to say 96% seamless.
Flawless. I mean, this is like, a conveyor belt in a factory.
Yeah.
It's a
well-oiled machine.
Yes, just runs itself practically.
Yeah, it almost does. I'm Bill, that's Harry. This is the bonus hour. 60 minutes, and when I say that, I mean 48 minutes of just nothing but entertainment. Just wall to wall. There's no room in here. There's too much entertainment.
Pockets full of entertainment.
Yeah, pockets full of it. Yep. For those of you concerned about Wendy's well-being, her health, stop worrying. She's on vacation. She'll be back on Friday. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that movie.
Yeah.
Not a big fan. And Wendy was not the woman at Disneyland who punched somebody.
No. We did the story yesterday, and I had to go back and double check because it's the kind of thing that Wendy would normally do.
Not the Wendy Snyder I know.
This is two times at Disney, once at Disneyland and once at Disney World, where there's been a violent outbreak by somebody, and both times have not been Wendy. So progress, we're making progress.
Right, they could have been coming from a conversation with Wendy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, so true. But everything's fine. She'll be back on Friday. But in the meantime, Harry's here to enlighten and entertain. Harry, you wanted to start out with...
Anything that starts with an E, I want to do today.
Really? Is that
yes,
true?
Yes.
All right. We'll do some Eggo waffles before the show is over.
Oh, yeah, let go of my Eggo.
So delicious. You wanted to talk about something very, very, very serious. And by very serious, I mean not really that serious, but kind of.
Right. And simply this. Is it good for you to cry? Do you know somebody that cries very easily? I do have one friend who cries, and a lot of times it's happy tears.
Mm-hmm.
But she gets so emotional that for her, crying is almost expected. So three researchers at the University of Queensland, which is in Brisbane, Australia, it's down under, they researched, they used 197 women because they said they trusted women to be more honest than men.
With their crying or overall?
With their conversations about crying.
Interesting. Well,
it's an ego thing, right.
Men aren't supposed to cry, but I'll be the first to tell you I cry all the time.
Right, there's no crying in baseball. When was the last time you cried, Bill?
Last night watching the Cubs lose. So there is crying in baseball.
I was also crying, 5 of the 12.
Yeah.
I was crying, come to think of it, too.
Yeah.
But they said that the men that they talked to, they went through about 65 men, and they realized that these guys were lying, that a great portion of them were lying. So they say they have determined, they showed these women an 18-minute video, a sad video, and they determined that crying is actually good for you.
What happened in the video, did they say?
The Cubs lost, the Cubs bullpen.
Yeah,
why they cried.
It always is.
Uh-huh. But during the study, they continuously measured the participants' heart rate, the respiratory rate, and periodically measured their cortisol levels from saliva samples. So not only if you're a woman, did you have to watch this 18-minute video that's depressing, but you had to spit off.
They were crying and spitting.
Yeah, spitting. Well, spitting and crying.
There is spitting in baseball.
You
said there's no crying, but there is spitting.
Spitting and crying, they walk hand in hand.
Don't you think, though, that I don't know if it's like this all over the world, but in America, there's a specific stigma attached. If you're a guy, you got to keep things together. You got to be strong. You can't cry. My family will tell you that on any situation like my birthday, Father's Day, any situation where I'm being honored by my family, the same thing always happens. My wife and both my daughters say something about me, and I can't see I'm crying so hard. Just the mere fact that they're saying something nice about me.
Well, because they mean so much to you.
They mean so much to me. So we'll go to a restaurant, and they'll either pull out something that they've written, or they'll just speak from the heart, and I'm a mess. Just like from the very beginning, like as soon as it's established, we're going to say something nice about you because it's your birthday. That's all it takes. I tear up.
Tell me there's a video of this.
No. There's pictures of it,
so
there's no video.
According to this, when you see something sad, when you see something depressing...
But these aren't sad or depressing.
Right, that's just...
It's the opposite. It's just emotion.
Happy tears.
Yes.
And that's, yes, you know, like, it's like when the Cubs won the World Series,
yeah,
when the White Sox won the World Series, Sox and Cubs fans were saying, you know, I was so happy I cried.
Yeah.
So it's legit. It's legit. It's too legit it's to quit. Legit. But according to this study, if you get sad, if you get depressed and don't cry, mm-hmm, it's bad for your heart rate.
Because you're keeping it bottled inside.
Yes, exactly. Your heart rate will slow down.
Right.
The crying is supposed to be good for your heart.
I have a very healthy heart then.
Yeah.
The first year that Kylie went away to school.
Uh-huh. Now you're going to make me cry.
I'm going to try. I'll tell you this without I'm not going to try to make you cry, but okay, if you do cry, right, I understand.
Call us up. Try to make us cry.
She was. The sob lines are open. 312. All right. So she was in New York,
mm-hmm,
and I met Terry and my other daughter, Reese, at a restaurant. I had played tennis, and on the way,
of course you did,
I call up and I say, you know what? I think I'm going to skip dinner. I'm just going to have something fast at home. And Terry said, no, come and meet us at the restaurant. I go, no, I'm wiped out. 2 hours, really. I'm going to make something at home. She goes, we went to this restaurant because it's one of your favorites. Please come. So I come to the restaurant and we're talking about that as I walk in. I'm like, I'm just knocked out. And then my daughter Kylie from New York just comes around the corner. There she is in the restaurant. I didn't know she was in town. She surprised me. I cried through the whole meal. I just, like, the mere fact that they pulled that off, that they fooled me, and there she was, just made me cry so much. And it's crazy. There's no reason for it. I understand the concept of surprising somebody. You know those videos that they show? If you go to YouTube, there are a million videos like this where there's a kid whose mother or father is deployed overseas.
Oh, I'll watch them all. I'll sit there and I'll watch every
one
of them.
I'm a mess. And I know it's coming. I know that the GI is in the box.
Right.
I know that as soon as they take the top off the box, he's going to pop up.
When the mascot takes his head off, it's going to be dead. Yeah.
I know it's coming. It destroys me. And it doesn't make it. I'm not sad by it. I'm so happy because of it. But how do I not have my emotions more in check if I've seen 1,000 of these and I know what's coming?
But that's what makes you great. I have a friend who's a football player. And he's now a coach, John Holosek, best coach in the state. His high school program at Loyola Academy is considered to be, you know, amongst the best, if not the best in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to him once about, you know, athletes who cry,
mm-hmm,
you know, after a game or during, you know, their retirement speech, like Mike Schmidt.
That's a textbook example.
Right.
He couldn't stop crying.
And what John shared with me was, this is the reason why they were great. Because they're so passionate. Because
I think there's definitely something there.
Because to other people, it's a Wednesday practice, but these guys were passionate.
Yeah.
About getting better at that practice.
Yeah.
And, you know, to other guys, it was, you know, another game and, you know, we didn't need the game to win the division. But, you know, when you're passionate, that's what gets you,
yes,
to where you want to be. So that doesn't surprise me that you cried, because you're incredibly passionate about the things that you care about.
Yeah, yeah. I've been at weddings where there's a bunch of women crying, but I'm the only guy crying, including a wedding where I only knew the couple getting married a little bit. I was friends with the parents, and I had met their son a couple times when he was a kid. I never met. So they're walking down the aisle, and I'm wiping away tears, and Terry just looks at me. She goes, what's wrong with you? I go, I don't know. It's the fact that, you know, when I saw he was 11 or 12 years old, and now all of a sudden he's 20 something and he's getting married and, you know, life is changing. I think what I'm crying at is the speed by which things happen. I think that's what's getting to me.
You know what I mean? Yes. You turn around and sunrise, sunset.
Yes. Swiftly through the years.
Yes, that's true.
They were right.
So we're both friends with the very talented Mike Toomey.
Yeah.
Twice he's mentioned today.
Yeah.
And when Lucy was born, my first kid, our first kid, you know, I told him, I go, Mike, I can't help myself. I'll stop by her room and I'll, at the risk of waking her up, I'll crack open the door and I'll peek in on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just think, oh, thank you, God. You know, this is so awesome that she's arrived and we love her so much. And I'm telling Mike about this and he goes, you know, that'll never go away. You know, because my son is, you know, 13 or something like that. And I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what is he, nuts?
No.
I mean, it's not going to go away.
It's legit.
It's just because you have a baby. But yeah, it's legit. Because with both my kids, I see them like, you know, lying in their bed in the morning or at night. And I just, yeah. You know.
Because you appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't take it for granted. You just go, wow, this is a miracle. What I'm looking at right now is a miracle.
Right.
But, and I have to pay for her college.
that gets you crying.
Right. What about movies and TV shows?
I've cried, you know. Brian Song is the first one.
You can't not cry during Brian Song.
You know, I just there's
do
something
other
wrong
Billy
with
D.
you.
Williams movies make you cry, or is that the only one?
No, I'll cry a little when I watch, you know,
Empire
Return
Strikes
of the Jedi
Back.
And Empire, right?
Yeah.
I'll also cry when I watch the Family Guy versions of those, because those are so great.
Yes,
I mean, the animation is spectacular, plus the jokes.
All right, you've seen the movie The Notebook, right?
You know, Bill, I love Ryan Gosling, and I have not yet seen The Notebook.
Okay. See The Notebook. Try not to cry during The Notebook. I cried so much that when The Notebook was over, a few weeks later, I decided to watch the track where the director, Nick Cassavetes, talks about the making of The Notebook. And I'm crying as he's describing shots, like the showing the scene. And he goes, I wanted to pan the camera down the staircase so that when Heather Mc... And I'm like, oh, I remember that when they panned down the staircase. I'm crying at that, at the director's cut. There's no reason for it.
Wow. You are just a... But that's great, because there are people that are faking it, pretending that they wouldn't possibly cry, and their heart rates are slowing down.
And
you're being real.
My family thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. They know there are certain things that they know will get me. There's a movie called In America. Did you ever see that movie?
Refresh my memory.
It's an Irish family who moves from Ireland to the United States, to New York City.
Why didn't they call it From Ireland?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Go ahead.
I'll research that. I will call you
okay,
back.
Okay, thank you.
But that's a great idea. It's a great question. So you don't understand why. They don't really go into detail about why this family has gone from Ireland to New York. You just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of the movie. Oh, they decided to make a move. Toward the end of the movie, they explain why, and I couldn't breathe. I was crying so hard. I'm in the chair, honestly gasping for breath, because... There's a child who said, I know this is very cryptic, but I don't want to give anything away
right.
to anyone who's not seen this. But there's this little girl in the movie who says something to her dad about the reason that they went from Ireland. And I clutched both sides of the chair and I gasped for breath and I was just crying. So much so that when the movie was over, I couldn't walk out of the movie theater. I had to stay and... Terry's laughing hysterically at me. She's going,
Way to be there
you
for
know,
your guy.
This is all pretend, right? It was just a kid saying what they told the girl. And I go, I know, but oh my God, you know, and I'm trying to explain.
She did not say, you know, this is pretend.
It's all pretend. They're not really from Ireland. That girl's from Fort Wayne, Indiana. You know that. Oh, but still, it's sad.
Oh my God, Bill. I will cry sometimes when I'm watching something on TV that reminds me of something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really crying from watching that episode, but I'll think of, you know, who I watched this show with or who I went to this movie with, you know. So
that's acceptable. Why isn't that acceptable? That's fine.
I don't know. It's just people.
Did you ever see your dad cry?
I saw my dad cry once when I came home from college because he thought he was all done with me. I don't think I ever saw. I saw him cry when his mother died, and I was a real little kid. He picked us up, and we were driving, like going out to dinner or something, and he started crying. And I'm like, why is he crying? You know, he hates driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told us, like, at dinner, you know, my mom, your grandma Choo-Choo died, you know, today.
Yeah.
And so that was tough. But there really hasn't been a lot of crying.
One time in 50-plus years for you.
Right. And, I mean, I think I probably cried the most of anybody in my family.
Yeah.
My wife, I guess we'll still call her that, she...
That was subtle.
She got a hold of my report card. Hey, I'm senior subtle. She got a hold of my report card from, I don't know, first grade or kindergarten, and you know the teacher's comments.
You get
grades and you get a teacher's comment.
Yeah,
and her only comment, two words: cries easily.
Wow, That's those were her notes on you?
Cries easily.
Very interesting to me that in all the years you knew your dad,
right,
one time crying, and it was because his parent died. I saw my dad cry twice in my whole life, once when his father died, once when my mother died.
See, there it is.
And both times they were kind of subdued. They weren't major outbursts of tears, but just seeing him not be able to hold it together was very foreign to me.
Right. So, I mean,
you're not used to seeing that. But my daughters have seen me cry 180 times.
Right. It hasn't been about death.
In a few instances, yes.
But
mostly,
95%
no.
of it has not been about
right.
death.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
So, I mean, I think that's good. I think it shows them you cry, you know, be true to your feelings. I think that's the life lesson I'm learning from you right now and from this intimate conversation.
Yes.
And because, you know, radio can be awfully fake. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but this is very real, and you're always very real.
You're calling Mully and Haw fake?
No.
I challenge you to a duel.
No. David Haw is a genius.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Have you cried at the death of somebody you don't know? Has somebody died who you've never met, but just the mere fact that you know they're no longer alive has made you cry?
Alan Napier.
From Batman?
Yeah, the butler,
yeah,
Alfred.
Alfred Pennyworth.
My brother sent me an article. And I must have been emotional about something else. But I'm going through these articles. And Danny was the article king before he figured out that you can just text somebody.
Your brother used to send me articles from time to time. He really did.
Bill, he would bring shopping bags. Shopping bags,
of
plural,
articles?
Of articles. And, like, I understand why he brought me the Alan Napier one. I loved Batman. It was my favorite show when I was a kid. But, like, he'd bring me articles that, why would you think I would like this? You know, why would you think that, like, this has nothing to do with me?
I kind of...
Agricultural
article? I'm not siding with him, but yeah. I understand that it was just a brother's way of saying, I was thinking of you. Here's an article. I get that.
I guess.
But who's the famous... It doesn't have to be a famous person. Just somebody died, and even though you didn't know them, you still cried.
There's got to be so many. I'm thinking music.
Yeah.
You know, first I'm going back to music.
Clarence Clemens.
Well, Clarence Clemens, I didn't cry, but I just felt sad for like a week. And I watched every Springsteen sax player, and I watched every video I could find of him.
Can I tell you a fictional person who died and I cried?
Who?
On Hill Street Blues, remember the character Mick Belker?
Yes, of course. He'd be a...
So he'd always talk to his mom. He'd be an animal.
His mother.
He was the biter, but he'd always, hi, Ma. He'd pick up the phone and he'd talk to his mother. So on one episode of Hill Street Blues, his mother died, and it just destroyed him. And I remember it destroying me because that fictional character lost somebody who meant so much to him that I felt awful for him.
Okay, and if Terry was here right now,
laugh her head off.
You know, that's not real, right? That's
I know.
Just an actor. Yeah, I mean, that's... if I spent a couple minutes on this, I bet I could come up with like a list. But Hill Street Blues, by the way, it paved the way for so many other
shows.
Best
cop show of all time.
Stephen Bochco, who went on to do NYPD Blue.
Mm-hmm. And Doogie Howser.
And Doogie Howser. But, I mean, that was just when Frank Farrillo is on JD, his detective, about going to a meeting that he's drinking too much.
Yeah.
Going to a meeting. And so then JD finally goes to a meeting. And do you remember what happened in that scene?
I do not.
He goes, hi, I'm JD, I'm an alcoholic. And everybody goes, hi, JD. And then you hear one voice in the back of the room go, how's it going, JD? And he turns around, it's Captain Farrillo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was. All right. Kim Gordon will stop by. She'll give you the news. And then there's more of us, Bill and Harry, on WGN. Kim, thanks very much. As the Mueller testimony continues, we've got it on the monitors here on WGN, and right now Terry Sewell from Alabama is speaking, and I just said, that is quite an outfit she's wearing. She's wearing a very bright aquamarine-colored blazer and a very bright kind of yellowish shirt underneath. I read yesterday that the number one fashion trend, and I didn't need to read this, Kim, because as you know, fashion is my middle name.
Right. You are a Vogue subscriber.
I'm a Vogue subscriber. On my days off, I'm often in Milan doing runway shows. I learned yesterday that the number one fashion trend this year is Neon.
That's what
did you see that,
yes,
too?
Yes, I have seen that. It's on the way back.
How did that happen? Why are we going back to Neon?
Well, the thing is, I've worn it once, and when you wear it once, you're not supposed to wear it again. So
people remember, Neon's a very memorable, not just color, but
even back
idea.
In the 80s when you wore it?
Neon.
Yeah.
She pulls it off.
She does.
Have to be
it looks
honest.
Nice on her.
It really does work.
And actually,
for her.
You know, for a congresswoman, or you know, they're usually very subdued. It's usually a gray suit.
Not
or,
this time around.
Do you think if Dick Durbin were wearing that,
what
could
if
he
Dick
pull
Durbin
off
wore the aquamarine neon jacket and the aqua, not aqua, kind of a yellowish? It's almost the color of Gatorade. Her shirt.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Gatorade-y.
Yeah, it's very Gatorade-y.
Yeah.
It's bright.
Yeah. So Dick Durbin in the same outfit would get, if we did a who wore it better between Terry Sewell and Dick Durbin, who would win?
I think Terry might win, but Senator Durbin can do a lot of great things.
It.
He could probably pull it off.
Yep, he could sell it.
He made an impassioned plea on the floor of the Senate about 25 years ago.
Not to wear neon?
Not to play with aluminum bats.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Did he really?
That he thought aluminum bats
for
were...
For anybody or just for major leaguers?
Not sure. I just remember I thought it was really cool. He was saying aluminum bats can be too dangerous. So
right.
Well, and he also made a plea for all MLB teams to put up netting you know, around the whole stadium.
And,
so.
And the White Sox have already done that.
Yes.
And the Cubs are going to be putting, I don't know how far, but, you know, I could see the Cubs stretching it out.
Maybe.
It Wrigley Field is the greatest park ever in the history of the world, and you can get easily distracted.
Yeah.
Someone will yell your name, or you'll be yelling for the beer vendor,
right.
Someone's telling a story.
Yeah.
I mean, netting saves lives.
Yeah, it does.
Do you guys ever watch Bryant Gumbel's show on HBO, Real Sports?
Yes.
I love that show. It's not about, like, how great, you know, Derek Jeter is. It's about, you know, his background.
From a different direction than you're used to
seeing. Right. They'll tell a story about a small village and how these people all learn to hold their breath for 4 minutes because the only way they can make money is by...
I watched that episode. It was great.
It was great.
Where they would dive underwater.
To capture fish.
Yeah.
And then they would sell the expensive fish and buy the cheapest fish because their family could get by on it.
Right.
And the greatest one ever is the one with... The parents who adopted the girl who didn't have any legs at birth. Did you ever see that one?
No.
Okay, you need to watch that, and I'll tell you why later anyways. But on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, we were talking about... how did I get into this? We were just talking about...
Netting.
He had... Thank you.
You're
thank
God.
Would you mind spending
to the rest
of the day? Could you spend the rest of the day with me?
Sure.
Okay.
Let me just be your mind.
Yes, please. Imagine me when I was partying. So Bryant Gumbel...
You're going to need a neon jacket, by the way, for that job.
Bryant Gumbel has a group of people that were either hit or someone in their family was hit by a foul ball.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, it's so...
It can be horrible.
I know someone who was hit and had to have major eye surgery, several eye surgeries.
Right. One person had 8 eye surgeries and...
Yeah.
I mean, and they all start by saying the same thing, that, you know, this is a horrible injury, it's been terrible for me, but thank God I'm alive.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
That's the trade-off.
I first poo-pooed the idea of extending netting, but...
No, it's a good idea.
You get used to it.
Yeah. I was sitting at Wrigley a couple nights ago when we were behind the netting, and it just kind of fades out of your vision.
You think about it when you first sit down.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, and then you don't notice
you
it after
it.
A while.
Right. Right.
I like it when a foul ball leaves an indentation in the netting. It's like, ooh.
That could have been somebody's head.
Yeah, it was really hard hit, hard foul.
Harry, in the past, and Kim, I think you were part of this at least once, maybe more than once, you brought in Snapple tops.
Oh, yes.
Did you do that today?
Yes,
you did?
The only diet thing
this
I like in the world is Diet Peach Snapple.
You and my dad.
And
same thing?
Right. I see him all the time at the Jewel. There's 82 kinds of Snapple, and there's one kind that sells, and they never have it. You go to the Jewel, and
what is it?
It's Diet Peach Snapple.
Why don't they keep more of it around if there's such a supply and demand?
Really good question.
I have that issue with Propel.
What's the Propel flavor?
I love lemon,
uh-huh.
And it's hard to find lemon, and my husband likes, and my kids like grape. And those two are hard to find.
Oh,
I don't know why, but it's always the case. So anyhow, on the inside of the Snapple bottle, on the small ones, they have facts, like Snapple facts.
Yeah.
So I don't know why. I don't know how this started, but I've got two barrels of Snapple Facts here.
Oh, you did? You brought them in? Good.
Of course I did.
Now, if I remember, last time you did this, we've done it a couple of times, all of them were informative facts that bettered our lives.
Yes, that's what, it's surprising that you can go with a college education,
right,
or just get like Snapple 2 dozen Snapple caps.
All right.
And then you have a master's degree.
Yeah, he's got a master's in
so
Snapple.
So people can use this segment as college credit. If they listen to this segment, you can use this as college credit.
It is worth 3.
And it'll be pass-fail?
It'll be pass-fail.
Yes, okay. 3 credit hours.
All right. Okay. All right, wow us with the Snapple facts.
Well, let's roll. Here,
you know what's interesting? I have a Snapple fact for you. The girl's name who was the Snapple lady...
Wendy.
Was Wendy, and you married a woman named Wendy.
Here, Kim, you can...
It's, oh, no.
Nice grab.
Like that's young... why there needs to be netting in the studio.
Yeah.
You almost killed
These
Kim.
Are not child-locked either. These are...
Oh, show
So
up.
Do we just start reading?
Yeah, just read.
All right, here we go.
Do you do this on car trips with the family? Do you guys all bring Snapple caps and just
Only
share?
When I'm driving.
All right.
Do we need to know what real fact number it is?
It would help me, Kim,
okay.
If you could, yeah.
Real fact number 1454.
Hold on a second. I'm writing this down. 1454. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
In the 1960s, the U.S. government tried to turn a cat into a spy.
Now, I want to say true, but these are not true false.
Right.
These are all true.
These are real facts.
Right.
This is not fake news.
This is real news.
This is off a Snapple cap, and
it is real. First of all, it sounds like a great premise for a Disney movie.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Second of all, I bet it's my cat.
It could be your cat.
I bet it's the cat we got.
Do you know what this reminds me of? Remember when Ripley's Believe It or Not was a thing?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
It still exists, but it used to be a big thing. It would be the comic strip. So with Ripley's Believe It or Not, they never really admitted whether or not they were real or not. They just said, if you want to believe this, fine. If not, no problem. It's Believe It or Not. They never said these are actual 100% truthful facts. They would just tell you stories, and it was up to your discretion as to whether or not you'd want to believe it's truth or not.
Yeah, I tried that with my mom and dad once. Did you do your homework? I did, Believe It or Not.
Bom, bom, bom.
Have you gone to the next step and gone to Snapple.com to see all the real facts?
No, I don't.
Wait, they have them all listed?
Well, it says get all the real facts at Snapple.com.
That'd be like binge watching, you know, a 24 episode TV show.
Kim, I could be wrong, but I think what they're referring to is real facts about Snapple.
Oh, because I was going to say if you could like put in number 1454 and then it gave you more information.
Oh, yeah.
On this fact,
well, you're taking this to another level.
I am. I told you, I'm going doctorate now, PhD.
Sometimes you'll see a commercial for a product, like it'll be a car. It'll be a Chevy. And they'll go, want to know more? Go to Chevy.com. And I always wonder, do people take them up on that? Like they've just watched the 60-second commercial where you've kind of thrown out all the important stuff. Do people want to know more?
I don't know. You know what drives me crazy is you'll be watching a show. You know, like, I know the Dick Wolf shows do it.
Yeah.
Chicago PD, say.
Yeah.
And they'll say, tweet with the actors right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or what's the one where they all cried? The triplets? Come on, the huge hit on NBC. The one with the heavy set.
Oh, This Is Us?
Oh, This Is Us.
This Is Us, right. They'll say, the characters are in a live chat room
right now. Right.
Well, okay, so you've waited.
Okay, I would so do that because I love that show, but I always watch it recorded so it's over. But I really would go on that.
During the show, you're going to miss the show.
No, the after show.
Right
they have an after. They have an after chat.
Yeah.
It's not during the show?
No, it's after.
It reads like it's happening right now.
Well, maybe that's because it's on Eastern time. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. It's upon completion of the show.
And he's got a new movie coming out. The guy who plays the dad, is it Vito or Milo?
Milo Ventimiglia.
Milo Ventimiglia has a movie coming out. It's supposed to be fantastic.
Oh.
All right.
I think he's fantastic.
All right. Harry, what is your Snapple fact?
Now, how can this even be substantiated? A day on Venus. This is Snapple Fact 936.
Hold on. Kim, yours was 1454.
1454.
So this Snapple Fact was written weeks or years, maybe even before that.
Yes, and Kim might have written it for all we know.
Uh-huh.
A day on Venus lasts longer than a year on Venus. How is possible?
Day on Venus lasts longer
than a year on Venus.
How could that be?
That can't be right.
I don't know. Is Venus Williams, one of the Venuses?
Wait, no, I would buy it. Like, if you said a day on Venus lasts a certain amount longer than a night on Venus.
Right.
Or, that would make sense.
Right. Or like Alaska, you know, for 3 months, for 11 months, Venus is dark and they only have light for 1 month. I would buy that. But how can a day, which is always smaller proportionately to a year, how can it last longer than a year?
Well, a year is based on the revolution of the planet.
Okay.
For you to get from
so maybe it takes a year.
From where you start to where you finish.
You remind me of Ben Stein right now.
That's my goal.
Okay.
All right. So if a year is determined by the revolution of the planet, so right. Now we've defined a year, but a day is a fraction of a year. So I'm the last one in the world to argue with a Snapple fact, but I don't think this is right.
I don't buy this.
Snapplefact.com. Better Google this.
I want to know more.
I don't want to go there. It's like giving it away.
Right.
Did you watch Lost? Do you want to know what happens in
no.
the end?
No.
Not in my
Because
life.
When you do find out, you'll be disappointed.
Yeah, you will be. That's
very disappointed.
And that is a Snapple fact. All right, Bill, what do you got?
I have Snapple fact number 908. So that was done
close.
Just before
yeah.
yours was.
Probably in the same graduating class.
Right before they started saying, let's do Snapple facts that aren't accurate, which is when yours were. In Athens, Greece, a driver's license can be taken away by law if the driver is deemed unbathed or poorly dressed. So if you're driving a car in Greece, in Athens, Greece, and the police see you and they think, well, that person looks a little gamey, they can take your license away.
So your kids can never oversleep because how many times did you like drive them to school in a bathrobe
right.
when everybody overslept or
That's
something?
That's right. That's so true.
Yeah, or my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Dad, they won't give me a license. Well, I think we know why.
Right.
You're, take a bath, bucko.
You're crusty.
So how do they, like, I know how they check for, alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, they give you a breathalyzer. Is there, like, a smell-o-lizer?
Yes.
Just open the door.
Right.
Whoa,
right.
whoa.
What happened in there?
Give me that license.
Yeah. Come with me, sir.
How long would that guy die?
Come with me, sir or madam. I can't even tell.
And, you know, no offense to Greece, but it is a little warm and sweaty there,
it
you
is.
Know? I mean, that's tough.
Right.
On your-
yeah, I'm surprised they put that on the brochures.
I'm not sure it's on the
come,
brochure.
Come visit Greece. It's warm and sweaty here. What else you got, Kim?
All right. I got Snapple fact. Real fact. 692.
Oh,
this is a good one.
I've heard this is a good one.
The spotted skunk.
I'm in a Snapple
Shut
chat
off.
Chat room. Snapple fact chat room, and they said this is a good one. A skunk?
The spotted skunk does a handstand to warn off its enemies before it sprays its stench.
Oh.
I've
isn't that something?
I don't believe it. I mean
Why would they warn their enemy?
Yeah.
You want to surprise your enemy. That's what an attack is.
It's sort of like when you're, you know, a parent and you're like, I'm going to count to three. And
yes.
if you
right.
don't behave.
Yes.
I'm going to count to 10. And if you're not in bed.
I'm spraying you.
Yeah. I don't believe that one either.
Kim, you've just recently moved to the city, so I don't
yes.
know if this applies to you.
Okay.
So, Harry, this is more for you.
I remember my life, though, before.
You'll remember your pre-city life. The last couple of years, by us anyway, there have been more skunks every single summer. Like, it got to where last summer, if you took a walk around the block, you were going to see a couple of skunks, guaranteed. This year, I've only seen one. We're 2 months into the summer.
They're all at my house.
They're all by you?
Mm-hmm. You come over. Where we live, it's great. It's awesome. It's like that Halloween scene from E.T. with kids running all
everywhere.
Over the place everywhere.
Just don't park in front of your neighbor's house.
But we have so we have so many skunks. We have so many possums.
Yeah.
A possum the other day just walked up to my front door.
Did he knock?
Did he ask
you to move your car?
He rang. The possum always rings twice. But we've had ducks, a green-headed duck and a brown-headed duck,
wow.
and they mate for life.
Yeah.
They lived in a little brush around our tree in front of the house.
Oh, nice.
We've had foxes.
Yeah.
But no, there's been no shortage of skunk.
For some reason, this has been a good summer because the last three or four, every year, there's more and more and more. Somehow, this year, so far, we've been lucky.
We always had a return family in Highland Park, and they would always come, and the smell once was so strong that we had to sleep out of our bedroom in another room because it was so strong that we couldn't, it was making us
that's
sick.
That's that bad?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I thought they were in my house. That's how bad it was.
That's awful. Whoa.
Not good. Okay, here's Snapple Fact 21.
Wow, this was an early one. Is this one in black and white, Harry?
It was in black and white.
This is the early days of Snapple Facts.
The settlers.
Right.
They didn't have social media back then when it was on 21.
Right.
Snapple Fact 21, almonds are members of the peach family.
Well, maybe it's a pit.
I'm going to say yes.
That's accurate.
And Kim, I'd want you on my team if we played It's Academic.
Yeah. I also have an animal-related one.
Yes.
Now, it'll sound like I'm bragging, but this is Snapple Fact number 15. I'm sorry.
I know. Damn, I finally got
21. I would like to know Snapple Fact number one, wouldn't you?
Yes. Right. It's don't get hooked on Snapple Facts.
Because only one or two of them are accurate. All right. According to this, and it says real fact, so who am I to argue? Snapple Fact number 15. All porcupines float in water. You know how, Harry, you always tell me that most porcupines float in water? You're wrong. All of them do. Every porcupine ever has been able to float in water.
And it keeps other people from floating longer.
Right. No one wants to be near a porcupine. That's a good... I might keep this one, Harry. Is that all right?
So if you're drowning, grab a porcupine because it'll act as a life preserver.
Yes. It's your best bet.
I wonder if porcupines know this.
Oh, I'm sure they know.
That's probably why they're proud to be porcupines.
Right. That's their proudest moment.
I guess.
It's a big deal to them.
Are there any cartoon porcupines?
Isn't there a comic strip with a porcupine?
I don't know.
Almost every animal has some comic representation.
Over the Hedge gives us a lot of different animals.
Yeah.
I can't really think of a
natural to the animated world.
Yeah,
because you can make it shoot its quills, and that's a good.
Yeah, you'd have
people would sit on it, or
yeah,
it's always funny.
Think of all the misadventures.
We should do it.
There we go.
Right, I will find that out.
You can find out.
I'll talk to my friends over at Hanna-Barbera and see what I can come up with. Kim, it is your turn. What is your fast fact?
This is number 864.
Oh, that's a good one.
Taft was the heaviest U.S. president at 329 pounds. Madison was the smallest at 100 pounds.
We had a 100-pound president at one point?
He could have been a jockey.
But I wonder if this was before our current president.
Oh, you're saying that Clinton weighs more than 327 pounds?
No, I'm saying
Trump is now current.
I don't know. He's a little heavy.
But when you see Taft...
329 is a lot.
He was a big man, that time.
Yeah, he was
a big man. Huge.
Yeah, it's weird that James Madison would be the lightest president because his wife made all those delicious treats. Zingers.
Didn't need to eat treats.
Yeah.
Powdered donuts.
He swore off. He said, no, thank you. I'll just have some carob.
I get it at home. Yeah.
100 pounds is really,
really
thin.
It's a jockey's weight.
Yeah. Yes.
And usually most jockeys weigh more than 100 pounds.
Wasn't Eddie Arcaro president of the United States for a while, Harry?
Yes, he was.
I know Steve Cawthon
was. Right after Clinton.
Yes.
Yes. Steve Cawthon was.
He moved to London, I believe.
Steve Cawthon?
Yeah.
Yes. Look at you. Yes, because.
Very impressive.
You know why? Because they hated John McEnroe. This is a true story. The Brits thought John McEnroe was such a disgusting,
vulgar.
Arrogant, vulgar person.
Yeah.
The only reason I would watch tennis was for John McEnroe.
Yeah, his energy.
Bill is an excellent tennis player,
yes.
Right? And you know, Karam is an excellent tennis player when he plays in his tournaments at East Bank Club, 72 and above.
Wow.
The British.
Ooh, that was unnecessary.
He tells me. He goes, I played tennis today. It was a brutal match. I go, who'd you play against? Saul Sekowitz. That just sounds like the dude is 72. So the Brits were so grossed out and dissatisfied with McEnroe that when Steve Cawthon came over there, they were around the same time.
Yeah.
They hit England. They were so in love.
Right.
That's the way an American should act.
Yes.
So he has had European owners and trainers throwing horses at him for since he was a kid.
Really?
And I'm sure the Queen is enamored with him. She loves horses.
She does. Her silks are beautiful. You should Google them. They're
purple
and red.
My favorite jockey. I think you'll appreciate this.
Yes, your favorite.
Julie Crone.
I do appreciate that.
How about that? She was my favorite jockey.
Because she was a woman?
Not because she was a woman.
Because of her voice?
She was just she'd show up on a talk show and she was fantastic. She had a great sense of humor. She was really fun.
She rode for us.
Did she? I didn't know that.
She rode
Harry's family, the owner of several prize-winning horses. for people who don't know, including Crypto Clearance.
Also the owner of several horses that, you know, died on the track when you were there.
It's horrible.
No one bets a thousand.
Right. No one bets a thousand. But we had a horse, Strategic Maneuver, and she rode him to
stake
race win at Saratoga.
Please tell me she was a nice girl to talk to.
Bill, she was better than nice.
Oh,
and,
good.
And she was just a cool person.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of fun.
She was very, very cool, and this is at a time when there were very few female riders.
Right.
And so she, for the longest time, female riders could not change in the jocks room. So they would change in the nurse's office. Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
Discrimination.
But, right. But now, you know, North Carolina, the bathroom's right.
Yeah.
It's commonplace.
Yep. Kim, thank you very much for hanging out. Kim's appearance, of course, sponsored by the good people at Snapple. Enjoy a Snapple.
We really do have the caps.
Yes, we really do.
Yes.
All right, we'll say goodbye in just a moment. Stick around. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Harry, a text has come in.
Yes.
In answer to our question, has there ever been an animated character based on a porcupine? Because it makes all kinds of sense.
Right. The hijinks alone.
Think of the fun.
The hilarity that would ensue.
Oh, it would be nonstop madcap hysterics to have an animated porcupine.
And, of course, the porcupine would have a job where he'd go to work and he would, like, you know, throw off everybody else's job.
Right. What kind of a job would he have?
I see him working 9 to 5, or maybe he's like a... Maybe
what if he gave vaccinations? He gave shots, and instead of holding up a syringe, he would just aim his arm at you.
He could do that, or you could have a porcupine who would like test to see how safe something is. Like this hot air balloon won't pop.
It's
porcupine tested.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah. That's excellent.
We need a good name for the porcupine.
All right, so a texter from 630 says that in the comic strip Pogo, remember Pogo?
Barely.
Pogo had a character named Porky Pine, but I remember the name, but I would imagine the name Porky Pine, you'd be a porcupine, you'd imagine.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a limb and say yes, you'd be a porcupine.
Pogo was one of those comics that had, we have to hurry, it had all sorts of animals. You know how in Winnie the Pooh, animals that wouldn't normally be friends together.
Right, right.
Like you rarely see a bear and a kangaroo and an owl and a rabbit and a donkey pal around together.
Yes.
But in the context of the show, you go, well, they live in 100-acre wood. Why not? But Pogo was like that, too. You had a turtle. You had a dog. I'm trying to remember who else was there. Well, obviously, porcupine. All living together. It's a life lesson.
The weirdest thing about Winnie the Pooh to me wasn't that all those animals from different walks of life would be friends, but that they would all hang out with Sebastian Cabot.
That is odd.
Yes.
Right. Harry, thank you for hanging out today and yesterday.
That
was fun.
I had the time of my life.
Did you have the time of your life?
Yes.
You're the wind beneath my wings.
Oh, go
on. You are.
Go on.
All right. So
life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long, Bill.
Really? All night long?
Yes.
That's crazy. Wendy's back on Friday. Tomorrow, Jim Toronto will be here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciated. Bye, Harry.
Bye, Bill.